Are you ready?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Eat It and Like It podcast. My guest, a very special guest. If you know anything about the city of Savannah, then you know all about the young lady we are going to chat with here this morning. Her name is Jessica Lee Libos. She is almost as much a fixture on the Savannah social scene, I think is fair, as Lady Chablis was back in the day.
Okay, first of all, welcome, you call me young, and then comparing me to Lady Chablis, I don't know about either of those, but I'll take it.
Iconic status indeed. First of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. I'm super. I feel like there's that kiss of false fall in the air.
Ain't it though? And people keep telling me it's going to go back up to 90, and I keep going out in the morning and it's not 90 yet. And I'm like, okay, can we? I am most certainly catch us by surprise.
As soon as you get comfortable, you're going to pull out a light jacket, mm-hmm. and then bam, you're going to be like, oh God.
And have the sweaties. So you have a new podcast you are launching. We will get to that in a little bit. I want everybody to know about it for reasons we will discuss in a second. But for those who don't know you, so many people do in this town, but for those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are, how long you've been here, about almost as long as Oglethorpe. But what brought you here? What year? How long you've been around Savannah?
Well, I've been around Savannah for about 30 years. I'm originally from Arizona, and I met this cute Southern surfer boy in Northern California in the 90s. And so I married into Savannah a long time ago. And it was enchanted from day one. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd always had fantasies about Southern life, you know, and now the reality is very different, as we know, yes. but it's been such a good life. And we've raised our kids here, and who are, God bless, like went through the public school system and went through University of Georgia. We've got our son is at Medical College of Georgia. So God bless the state public school systems mm-hmm. for us. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm a writer. I've always been a writer. I've always been a local writer wherever I've lived. And I've now lived in Savannah longer than I've lived anywhere else. So I consider myself a Savannah writer. And I've published two books. One is called Savannah Sideways. The newer one is called The Camellia Thief, because I am one. During the season, and I write a weekly column still, which I have a Substack called the Savannah Sideways Substack, and that people can subscribe to that. A lot of the content is free, and it's just, you know, Savannah Sideways, my take on what it means to live here.
There are few people in this town who can give us a better look inside Savannah, and as well written as Jessica does, than you. I mean, you're one of the best writers, if not the best writer in this town. I hope I'm not offending anybody, but you know, she does incredible work. She knows this town inside and out. You said you've been here 30 years now.
Well, I think we moved about 20 as we've moved here full time. We had our kids. Our kids are hippie California born, and they'll tell you that, but they are Savannah raised.
Well, you just mentioned you have lived here longer than anywhere else in your life. Sheila and I I can only speak for me. I crossed that threshold last summer. I've lived in Savannah longer than anywhere else. So.
But you can never say you're from here, right? No, like it's still, no. Unless you were, you know. Mm-hmm. You were born at, you know, Telfair Hospital, or, you know, even my father-in-law has been here 60 years. He's still, you know, well, I'm not really from here, you know?
Right. No, I get that. Yeah, no, I totally get that. And I'm respectful of that. I always tell everybody I'm from Miami, but I've been here forever. I'm almost a native, but you know, I will use this opportunity to say very quickly, and I'm guessing it's been the same for you. Ever since I rolled up in here in 1999, the people of this town have been nothing but amazing to me and treated me like I was born in Ellis Square.
I fully agree. I think that when you come correct in Savannah, you are welcomed with open arms. Right. And I think that when you don't, you get an experience that you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, I'm like, well, you know, say that, oh, it's hard to make friends here. It's hard to fit in. And, I always ask the question, I mean, well, are you asking questions? Are you bringing, you listening? Are you valuing Savannah for the unique place that it is? I observe a lot of people coming here who have grand ideas and talent and energy and all of those things. But they misstep in that they lead with themselves, and they don't kind of settle back and see what we've got going on here. And what we have going on here is often like complicated and difficult and challenging. And, none of it gets fixed overnight. You know, I think that, you know, coming here with this idea of being part of a community is the path to success, you know, to feeling, to belonging.
Yeah, I completely agree. So many people, and not everybody, obviously these are tiny samples, but a lot of people come here and think, they're not doing a whatever ABC. Well, we used to do them in LA all the time. We should start it here. And they expect Savannah to be as excited about something they want to do as everybody was in whatever city they came from. And it doesn't always work that way. You got to fit into your, you said it best. The words you used were come correct. When I got here, you know, you observe and you fit in, and when in Rome, you do as the Romans. And I never tried to say, well, this is how we did it in Miami, or, you know, how do you do it? And if I like it, I'll join you. If I don't, I'll go home and, you know, watch Netflix. Although back then there was no Netflix. But it's been like one tiny, tiny, tiny example is I spoke to a guy a few years ago, and he talked to me about trying to lead a push to get restaurants the ability by the city to set up dining in the squares. And I thought, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Well, they do it in every European city. Okay, well, then go to Europe. You know, that's just not going to fly here because it would destroy a lot of the integrity of these squares. But people don't think that way. They think this is how we did it. Okay, well, you need to do it how it is here.
Right, right. And it's not to say that Savannah doesn't adapt and change. I mean, it has, it's changed a lot, you know.
Eventually.
But I think, you know, you get that by working with a consensus and working together. So.
Sure. So what you been up to this summer?
Well, so I have a new gig. One of the things I wanted to say about Savannah is that it used to be smaller. We used to have this centralized media, right? I mean, we have, you know, one daily paper, one weekly paper, a couple of different glossies, a couple of different local news channels, and that was it. And now that has all gone away. We still have our daily paper, and they work really hard to keep it local. They're owned by the USA Today, and I encourage people to read the Savannah Morning News because it really is local reporting. Awesome people over there. We don't have a weekly paper anymore. We have Savannah Magazine.
Well, we do. We do have a weekly paper. It's just now the Savannah Morning News, but.
Right. I mean, it's just so much has changed, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, I grew up, I came up in the weekly paper, the alternative weekly, the industry. So, I mean, I worked at weekly papers all over the country, and that really doesn't exist anymore. So, and I have, I've been really lucky. I've been a freelancer and I've gotten great gigs, but I've always wanted to find a home. I like structure. I like being part of a team, you know, and so I've been looking for a gig for a long time in Savannah. And I finally in December have found such an awesome position for me. You know, money is like the third most important thing, like having autonomy and having working for a mission and with people of integrity is really my priority. And so I am the director of marketing and communications at the Tybee Island Marine Science Center,
nice.
Which is such a gorgeous facility on North Beach. A lot of people remember it as a small, tiny little concrete block next to the bathrooms on the south end at the pier.
Yeah.
And when we came to Savannah, my husband's family has a house on Tybee, and we spent a lot of time there. And so when my toddler was, 20 years ago, we went to the Tybee Island Marine Science Center every day because my daughter wanted to touch the crabs. So nice. They've had such a wonderful, they've provided such a wonderful service. They had such a wonderful board and support that they've built this incredible, incredible building out at North Beach. Have you been there lately?
No. 'Cause
you got to come out. No. Yeah. Christian Satil designed it, floor to ceiling windows, tremendous exhibits.
Nice.
Really so educational. And it's about, its focus is educating on the stewardship of our unique coastal environment, which is kind of always in danger of so many different things. So I'm so proud to be there and so honored to work with the team there. We have a great board. So that's what I've been doing all summer. And we got to stay out at Tybee all summer long. So, and I don't know when this is coming out, but we are releasing a turtle this Saturday. One of the things that the center does is we have, turtle hatching, nesting and hatching season is a big deal all up and down the Georgia coast. We've got loggerheads and green turtles, and we've five of the seven sea turtles of the world come and nest on the Georgia coast. So we've had 19 nests on Tybee this summer, and we've had volunteers patrolling the beach, making sure they're safe.
Nice.
So every year, or every 3 years, we take a little hatchling. They hatch the size of a potato chip, and there's usually stragglers. So we kind of rescue a straggler, bring it to the Marine Science Center, and raise it for 3 years. And they educate our visitors on the ecosystem and where turtles go. They are amazing because they hatch out of the nest this big. They crawl into the ocean. They swim. Yeah. Miles and miles out to the Sargasso Sea. Mm-hmm. And in 30 years, they come back. Somehow, they swim back, and they're huge, and lay their eggs within a mile of the beach of where they were born and hatched.
Wow.
So amazing creatures.
Yeah,
so we have Westy is being released on September 6th, Saturday morning.
Right.
Came as, little tiny, tiny girl, and is now a big, 50 something pounds. And so she's going to march her way down the beach and swim off.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Well, we are now about 11 minutes into this conversation. And if anybody's listening, they're saying, I thought this was a food podcast.
Yeah.
What do you think of what has become of our city's food scene? Loaded question, I know.
Oh, gosh. Jesse, what I noticed most, there's a lot of great people, and I find myself, we go to kind of the same places again and again because of consistency, a lot of places coming and going. Really, we're really missing a mid-priced tier of just food, of just well-prepared, nothing fancy, but just well-prepared, good food, something where entrees aren't $25 for a very small amount of food. I mean, I think people go out to eat because they want to sample things or they want to have an environment. Sometimes it's you go out to eat because you're hungry, and you just want to have a meal that is satisfying. So I think we're missing some things, but I also admire all of the talent that we have here. I mean, we've got some awesome creativity. I mean, I feel like I'm the only person who has not been to the Municipal Grand yet, got to try out the Chia's Pasta Bar, but I'm excited that Kyle's got a new spot. I'm always at my girl Natasha's place, 6B, because think she's amazing, and she's got the best bread in like the world.
Yes,
but I mean, the scene is I think it's interesting. I wish that it would. I mean, we went to New York City earlier this summer, and we ate less expensively and better than we do in Savannah. So
there's a thousand reasons. We could talk for another 40 minutes about because some of the reasons for all of that are, but I think you would agree, you've been here long enough to know that from where we came to where we are now, it's pretty damn good.
Yeah. When I came here, there was to eat was Carrie Hilliard's, so, and which is, I'm not knocking it. I love a fried shrimp platter. Listen to me. That's no problem. Absolutely. And they'll bring it to your car. Fun. Yeah. Very fun. But, you know, yeah, lots more options. So that's good.
Yeah. I had lunch at Carrie Hilliard's about 10 days ago, believe it or not. Had me a pulled pork club sandwich, which was originally referred to me by one of the better chefs in town when he was here a handful of years ago. He said, "Have you tried?" I go, "No." He goes, "Best sandwich in Savannah." And he chased me. He would text me, "Have you gone yet? Have you gone yet? Have you gone yet?" And finally, like 4 or 5 months later, I finally went, and it was, I don't know if it was the best sandwich in Savannah, but it was really, really good. Pulled pork club sandwich. It was delicious. Right. I had it last week. yeah, we not going to Carrie Hilliard's. That's really good stuff. In fact, Carrie Hilliard's got some run on a national podcast with Shannon Sharp, who, you know, went to Savannah State.
Yes.
He and what is the young lady that played at LSU? I forget her name.
Flage?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. She was on his podcast, I believe, and they were talking about Savannah, and they brought up Carrie Hilliard's, absolutely, which good for them.
Endured. It's still here.
So we're going to get into some of your favorites out on Tybee here in a minute, but I will ask you one last question about food for right now. If there was one cuisine or one type of restaurant that you could open next week in Savannah or see it open, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. Listen, we need a Jewish deli, a really good, you know, we ate at Barney Greengrass off of Central Park when we were in New York. And real cured, like lox salmon
what's the name of the one in Atlanta? There's a few of them.
Oh, my gosh, I don't know.
I forget the name of it, but they were trying to get them down here a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like legit. I forget the name. But anywho, so you're starting a podcast of your very own.
Yes, I am. So I do, and I do host the Tybee Island Marine Science Center podcast, which is, I interview people like you do in the community who are really the movers and shakers of our environmental community and our nonprofits. So give a listen to that. I really love that part of my job.
Very good.
The Savannah Sideways podcast is a little different. It's a story, and it is a 10-episode story about some ancient Roman statues that the city of Savannah owns. And I've been obsessed with this story for about 5 years. It came to me during COVID as a very small news clip. John Mikanowski, a friend, sent me this thing. He's like, Do you know about this? Because the city was brought up that they wanted to sell these surplus statues. And I was like, what are these? Where did they come from? And that story is so fascinating. The through line is the first soybean farm in America, Casimir Pulaski. The Gilded Age, Asaba Island, the silent film era, Sapelo Island, and the Gullah Geechee community. There are so many touch points of this story, and that's why I've written about it a bunch, and I just couldn't quit it. I just couldn't get out of my system. So I feel that telling the story in a podcast form, I'm calling it a true crime. A true crime podcast, no crime. No murder. It's just, it's a mystery, right. Without the murder.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody who is interested in Savannah is gonna learn something and be entertained. So I'm very excited about it.
I like that
premieres on October 9th. Anywhere October, you get your podcasts.
Very good. October the 9th, and it's weekly?
It's going to be, the first two are going to come out together, and then it's going to be weekly.
10 parts, all about Savannah Sideways podcast, correct?
Right.
So then what do you do for your next one? Are there plans to continue telling
stories? I do have another story that I'm inquiring about, another Savannah, I think that when we go back and we kind of revisit some of these historical stories, mm-hmm. we when we shine light on them, we can talk about what's kind of happening now. There, we, you know, history repeats itself in a lot of ways. So it's interesting to tie, you know, how things, how one thing done hundreds of years ago can affect the way we think and the stories that we tell now. So yeah, I've got something else, but let me get this one out. Okay. Like I'm still working on the last episode.
Very good. Very good. Well, you are a great storyteller. I know that. And so it will be good. I will certainly give it a listen. I've gotten into in my later years now, I've gotten into audiobooks and everybody listens to podcasts, but I've probably been through more audiobooks, and I'm talking, you know, big name books, in the last 2 years and then the previous 15 combined. I really love it. I go to Hilton Head a lot, so I have long drives but short drives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I eat up my time with audiobooks.
Yeah, these will be exactly. I think each episode's going to, I think it's going to be between like 30 to 40 minutes. Perfect. So I figure it's like a perfect for, you know,
perfect.
Sitting in carpool line,
mm-hmm. yep.
going yep. to Hilton Head, like, you yep. know.
Perfect. I mean, there are some people out there that, you know, national people can do 3 hour podcasts, but there's some local people who like to do hour plus, 3 hour, 2 hour. And I'm like, no,
it's a lot. I mean,
no. So, okay. Before we go, you're going to give us some tips. Everybody wants to know where the secrets are, even though if there's any secrets, they go to social media. There are no hidden gems anymore. Anything that's good goes to social media.
Right.
But
speaking of social media, I just want to say there is a Kickstarter for Savannah Sideways for the production. And it's not just me sitting in front of my computer. You know, I mean, we have a professional sound engineers, professional designers. It's really going to be a quality podcast, because I really want this story. I think, like I said, anybody, you don't have to live in Savannah to be interested in the story. It really is interesting. So if you want to help kick down, I'm having an amazing launch party at Ships of the Sea Museum on launch day on October 9th. So you can visit my website, savannahsideways.com, and get more info.
Very good.
Sorry. I had to do a little pluggy plug.
All good. No, I get it. And I'll also have a link when I post this on my website, evenlike.com, that will take it to your thing.
You.
Okay. Three or four spots that you've been loving to dine at, eat at, grub at on Tybee.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give some love to Tybee because I was there all summer long.
Yes.
Hands down. I think we eat at Bubba Gumbo's like twice a week. I mean, that place, the gumbo, first of all, is amazing. They just have the freshest fish in town, and it's the place. I mean, every time we have our favorite little table, you know, down the stairs in the back, and you know, the sloped floors, it's just it's great in there. You know, everything is so fresh.
Very good.
I love Salt Island as well on Tybee, and they really got some super creative dishes and a lot of like vegetable forward dishes. When I go out, I struggle to get like enough vegetables. I'm an omnivore 100%, but like I can only do, you know, I'm like only do so much starch and meat, you know, I really want some. So they had some caramelized carrots at Salt Island and they did a beet salad, like really good stuff.
Nice.
Let's see what else. North Beach Grill is no secret, but it's right next to my work and it's like the best lunch. We have great drinks.
What's your go-to there?
I usually get a burger, but you know, like that I'm always a specials person. I'm always interested in seeing like what the chef's got going on. Yeah. We just tried the Kelpie, which is a new place on Tybee, a new Irish pub that is kind of next to Chew's on the corner of Butler and Campbell.
Yeah.
Legitimate Scotch eggs, which are my favorite. I love those. And we had the cottage pie, which was delicious. And then the special there, I told you I love specials, was like this really interesting, it was a slider platter, but that without the buns, because, you know, girls gotta watch your carbs. So it was like a, you know, three different, it was like a salmon patty, and a lamb patty and a beef patty. And like one was under a portobello mushroom. Like we had like a fried green tomato. It was really creative and delicious. So anybody's looking for something a little different on the island, head in there.
Forgive me for saying so, but based on your list, Tybee's come a long way.
I think so. Oh, yeah. I mean, it really is. And then the window, the walk-up window over on the south end is great, too, just for a little breakfast sandwich and, you know.
That was the last time I saw you. I was inside there making those famous, and you're outside, and I stuck my head out. Hey, what you doing? Jessica outside, Jesse inside.
Yeah.
So what was the name of that pub again? I know where it is. The old dog house it was.
Right.
It was the Highway 80 gastro pub.
It's called the Kelpie.
Spell that.
K-E-L-P-I-E. I believe it's a mythical Celtic creature of some kind.
I hope so. Because when you said kelp, I was thinking, is this like a seaweed place?
A seaweed place. Although, you know, I wouldn't be mad at a silly. I mean, I lived in California for like a really long time. Yeah. I would eat seaweed all day long.
You tree huggers. No, love me some California cuisine. In fact, I'm going in a few weeks and I've been looking up. You know me. I'm looking up my restaurant.
Yeah, where are you going?
Ooh, I can do that. My daughter's moving to L.A. So we are.
She was in New York. You're so lucky. Mm-hmm, you know, like, wow.
Yeah. But, you know, now it's a longer trip. She's like, I can't come home for Thanksgiving, girlfriend. It's a day trip each way.
Yeah.
You know, you can't
crossing time zones is a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Up and down is a little easier. I get
much easier. 90, mm-hmm. 80, 83 minutes to LaGuardia. You're there. You know, LA is a little different animal. You got to change planes the whole nine. So anyway.
Well,
Jessica, one more time, the podcast is Savannah Sideways. That debuts October 9th.
Yep.
The website for your Kickstarter is what?
Well, I'll have to send you that link, but my website is savannahsideways.com. And if you go to Kickstarter and type in Savannah Sideways, you'll find it. I'd love to have everybody in town at this party. So go to the Kickstarter website, type in Savannah Sideways. Like small contribution, you're going to get swag. You're going to come to a great party and I'll get to meet you, which would be awesome.
October 9th, October 9th at Ships of the Sea, downtown Savannah on MLK.
It's going to be magic.
All right, girlfriend, you remember the little people when you're winning all
Jesse,
those awards.
You're the biggest. You got the biggest heart in town. Thank you.
All right. I like the sound of that. So we'll leave her right there. Jessica, thank you. You have a great day. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks again, Jesse. Bye.
Are you ready?